Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
An article out today in the journal Science shows that the Earth has gotten 1.3 degrees warmer in the last century. That kind of increase used to take 5,000 years. And as the planet warms, many scientists say we can expect more extreme weather, just like we saw during Superstorm Sandy. With that in mind, how should we be thinking about insuring our property? Several weeks ago, a commission set up by New York Governor Andrew Cuomo released its preliminary report about how to deal with future extreme storms. Included in that report were some insurance reforms. Howard Kunreuther is a professor at the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania and co-director of the Wharton Risk Management and Decision Processes Center. And Howard, would you outline what the commission is recommending on the insurance front?
What the commission is really recommending is that people have a much better understanding of what insurance can do, also to try to tie the insurance mechanism a little more closely to encouraging individuals, homeowners, and businesses to invest in mitigation or loss reduction measures prior to a disaster. And those are the principal things, and then the recognition that there has to be insurance continuity after a disaster. Often policies are canceled and consumers are left at sea with respect to being able to get coverage.
So when you say encourage mitigation, you want them to do preventative things to try to minimize damage to their house in a case of disaster.
Exactly.
And when you say you want them to better understand what insurance can do, what do you mean by that?
Well, I think one of the real challenges with respect to insurance is that people view insurance as an investment rather than as a protective mechanism. And by that I mean that they see premiums that they're paying, they don't suffer a loss for a few years, they feel their premiums are wasted, and they are often will cancel their policy. And we're dealing, in the case of floods and hurricanes and disasters, with low probability events. So they're not going to happen very frequently. And people will often find that their policy has not paid off in their view and therefore will cancel it.
Right. In fact, you say when they have that mindset that my insurance isn't paying off, they're thinking about it as if it's a bet when in fact it's a safety net.
Exactly. And it's very, very hard to get people to understand that the best return on an insurance policy is no return at all. They should celebrate they haven't suffered a loss. Rather, they say, oh, I paid my premium. I could have saved that had I not had an insurance policy.
Of course, it is human nature when you write that check every month or see that money taken out of your account to think, I'm not getting anything back from this.
That is the hardest part, and I think one of the aspects of this report that is very important was a piece that they indicated improve in consumer awareness through education. And they highlighted the fact that they wanted to let people know that if you have a deductible on a policy, which is something that people will have, that it may actually be reasonable to have a deductible because you are still buying insurance to provide yourself against the very, very large losses, and you will pay a smaller premium with a higher deductible.
The recommendations that the commission has issued seem to be very general. You've talked about education and mitigation. What are some changes, actual changes, that homeowners could see?
Well, let me say one thing about the mitigation recommendation. They have a set of specificity in that one that I think is very positive. They recognize in the report that one of the challenges that homeowners and individuals in general and businesses as well have is that there often is a high upfront cost of mitigation, and people have very short time horizons, and therefore they say, I really can't afford this, and therefore I'm not going to invest in mitigation. If you are going to be making your house more floodproof, you would actually be spending a few thousand dollars on that. Elevating the house would even be a higher expenditure. It could run into $10,000 to $15,000. It could save an enormous amount of damage. The way that this program at least was outlined in Governor Cuomo's report on Sandy was that you would try to get people to invest in mitigation measures by stretching time horizons and having long-term loans so they would not have to pay the upfront cost, tax relief so that they wouldn't find their property value going up simply because of the fact that they had mitigated and made their house more valuable, and And any kind of incentive that would actually enable them to see the benefits of mitigation today. They actually required inspection of the property to make sure that the mitigation measure was in place. The inspection is a very important part of the process.
There's also something that you call the untold story, and this is about what many people consider falsely low premiums for people who live in risky areas like flood zones. You've written that people who live in non-risky areas are subsidizing the choices of people who live in risky areas. Do you see that changing?
Well, the hope is that that will change, and that will change because of new piece of legislation. The Biggert Waters Act was passed before Hurricane Sandy in July of this past year, 2012, and that actually is advocating risk-based rates for people who have repetitive flooding or have second homes, but it's a step by saying we are not going to continue to subsidize people who are living in high hazard areas. Here's a step in the direction of trying to change that.
On a national scale, how well do you think we're prepared for weather-related disasters when it comes to insurance?
I don't think we're very well prepared at all. I think that with respect to homeowners coverage, which covers fire, and it does cover wind damage, we're in good shape. But when it comes to earthquakes, there's very little earthquake insurance that's purchased in California today. And when it comes to hurricane and any kind of storm surge or flood damage, there's very little flood insurance. And Hurricane Sandy, only 30% of the people who were victims of Hurricane Sandy actually had insurance. And many of them were required to have flood insurance, and they still didn't have it because the law wasn't actually enforced.
These are recommendations we've been talking about, but do you actually expect to see changes in the way we insure our homes in the U.S. as weather events become worse?
I definitely do. I think that what is happening now is that there's a recognition that we are in a new era of catastrophe, and as a result of that, people are thinking about insurance. There is an opportunity now, both on the education front, but also on the notion of people understanding insurance at all levels. And that is not just the consumer side. Insurers also have to change their behavior, make insurance more transparent to people who are purchasing it. And the regulators have to play a role at the same time by making sure that insurance companies are solvent, but giving insurers an opportunity to price the coverage so it reflects the risk, so that they'll be willing to actually provide coverage against some of these risks which they otherwise might not be in a position to do.
Howard Kunreuther is a professor at the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. He's also co-director of the Wharton Risk Management and Decision Processes Center. Howard, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you.
Before we go today, are you noticing that your Facebook posts aren't being shared or liked as much as they used to be? Our next guest thinks he knows why that is. You're listening to Here and Now.